This is Janet Mefford Today.
Our confidence is in Christ alone.
Are we going to stand with God, come what may?
If the Word of God says it, I believe it.
And that's the way it is.
And now, here is Janet Mefford.
Welcome, everybody. I just took the time to read through all the new guidelines from California on reopening churches, and some of these recommendations really make me think that they have been put forward just to frustrate people out of going to church. These are from the new document called COVID-19 Industry Guidance, Places of Worship and Providers of Religious Services and Cultural Ceremonies. But check out some of these guidelines for churches. The state writes, face coverings do not protect the wearer. But congregants should be asked to wear face coverings. That makes a lot of sense. The state advises churches to turn off public drinking water fountains, and congregants should be screened for temperature. They also say consider using disposable seat covers for congregants, particularly on porous surfaces or where a facility has multiple daily services. Discard and replace seat covers between each use. And they're not talking about the bathroom there. They're talking about in church. So does that mean you have to put toilet seat covers down on the pews? I don't really know. And then they say, strongly consider discontinuing singing and group recitation. So you got to stop singing and talking or having responsive readings in church. But here's the guideline that shocked me the most. The state of California stated this. Staff, volunteers, etc. should not enter the home or visit someone who has tested positive for, exhibited symptoms of, or has been in contact with someone infected with COVID-19 for an appropriate waiting period as described by CDC guidelines. This is basically the state telling the church how it should minister or not minister to those who are seriously ill. I mean, you talk about a violation of the wall of separation between church and state that the left has always loved to cite. And remember, these are the guidelines that came out after U.S. Attorney General William Barr warned Gavin Newsom that his plan for gradually easing the state's coronavirus lockdown could disfavor religious groups. It also came after President Trump informed all the governors that churches are to be considered essential. So are you beginning to see why California's South Bay United Pentecostal Church is taking the shutdown fight to the Supreme Court and why so many California pastors are standing up and saying we will reopen on May 31st? There's a lot going on in California. We're going to talk about all this now with Shane Eidelman. He is the founder and lead pastor of Westside Christian Fellowship in Lancaster, California, and now Leona Valley, California. He has put out a great video at ShaneEidelman.com. Open churches now, three undeniable points why churches can open. And Shane, just a delight to have you with us today. How are you?
Janet, it's great to be back. I think I was on many years ago when I first released a book on the emergent church.
Excellent.
It's been a while.
Yes, too long. We're going to have to do this more often, Shane. But I really appreciate what you do, and I'm glad to have you here. What are your thoughts on what's been going on in California pertaining to opening churches, closing churches, Gavin Newsom, all the nonsense that's been going on lately?
So I've got a few hours I can sum up in a few minutes. How's that?
Great.
We're actually in Los Angeles County, if you can believe that, northern Los Angeles County. So I'm going to try to unpack this because I think what's happening, we still have churches in our area who are not opening, and they're upset at those who are opening. And then if you didn't open soon enough, then you got that group upset at you. It's just amazing. I'm telling you, I've never dealt with this much pressure, stress at the ministry level. Many of our church engaged in fasting and prayer a few weeks ago, and that really helped to just seek God in this, because what happened is we hear this pandemic. So we agreed with the president initially the first 15 days, and then he extended the 15-day, window to the nation to, hey, let's hunker down, let's see what this is. But then we start seeing, you've seen the fake numbers and the fake photos.
Yep.
And the agendas. And so the virus, the vaccines, Bill Gates, I mean, I won't even have to, I'm sure you've educated the listeners very well in this area. So we begin as a church to see all this. And then our governor came out and said it's probably looking like it's 3 to 6 months from now. We put churches in the same category as entertainment.
Mm.
So that's where I think we say, okay, we've submitted to authority under Romans 13, and actually the context of Romans 13 is different than this, in my opinion. But,
yep.
We're to submit to authority, and we've done that. But at some point, we have to remember that the governor and the president even do not say when churches are going to be open. God says when
right.
churches are going to be open.
Amen.
I believe he uses spirit-filled believers. You look at Martin Luther, you look at Zwingli and Knox and Calvin and Witt. I mean, you just go down the list. There has to be a boldness, even the American Revolution.
Yep.
So I think as long as pastors aren't prideful and arrogant and like, let's show them. But it's really coming from a humble heart, a heart that's broken for what's going on in the nation, but also saying, hey, we can't stay handcuffed anymore. We've listened, but now we see there's clearly an agenda. I don't know if you've been following, but I've been getting text messages from nurses in Los Angeles, San Bernardino County, that their upper administration is actually listing people who die as COVID who don't even die of it.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. So I think America's been played. I think, and the churches now need to say, okay, enough is enough. We're drawing the line in the sand. We'll respect your protocol to open. And you're right. Newsom was not going to open the churches until President Trump came out on Friday and said what he said. And these are restricted guidelines. So we're kind of in that balancing match. You know, we don't want to go in and say, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people don't wear masks. Who cares? Let's just do this. But on the other side of it, I don't know how you handcuff the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, right.
We're going to encourage people to check their temperature. I mean, just like you would, if you're sick, don't come to church, you know?
Right, so of course.
Finding that middle ground, Janet, I'll tell you, has been the hardest thing I've done, because you are truly damned if you do, damned if you don't on either side.
Yes, yes.
With opinion. So I think people just need to trust their leadership and see what God does. So.
Well, I agree with everything you just said, Shane. I had the exact same response that you have had, where we all said at the very beginning, when these models were showing these outsized numbers of potential deaths, everybody, I think, who wanted to be wise and prudent about it said, well, definitely we should have 15 days to slow the spread. We don't want the hospitals to become overwhelmed. We don't want people to die, obviously. But now, with subsequent information, the whole landscape has changed, and it's coming from a lot of reliable epidemiologists and people who are experts in the field who are disagreeing with some of the propaganda that I think has come out about COVID. It's not like we're in the Black Plague. You know, it's not like everyone is dropping dead of this. There's a certain sector of society that is more vulnerable, the elderly, people in nursing homes. I saw a statistic today, 42% of the COVID deaths are coming out of nursing homes. And it's restricted to certain areas of the country as well, geographically, New York, and we had for a time Louisiana. So how does this impact your church and how you do ministry when you have, on one hand, you're saying, I think, very intelligent things and very good things about religious freedom as well, but then you have other people on the other side who are still in freakout mode, and I don't think these people are really looking at the science. I really don't.
No, a lot of people are being fed by the media. For example, Drudge Report, it's doom and gloom, and numbers are rising. And my opinion, I think the numbers are probably half off. You know, I think they've attributed way too many deaths to this. We just heard recently of a friend whose dad died as a heart attack. They actually put it down as COVID because he had the virus. So the numbers are completely off. We're in fear factor mode. And what you mentioned is the elderly, those with compromised immune systems, actually the morbidly obese as well.
Yeah.
What you have is a body I don't know what the right word is, but the immune system has been shot. And so when you get something even like this, or the flu, have you ever had a bad case of the flu? I thought I was going to die.
Yeah.
You know, this is, if there was a Democrat as the president, we would not be dealing with this. I guarantee you that much. So what do we do as a church? Well, we have to respect those. I actually have just talked to the husband yesterday whose in-laws, actually one of his in-laws did die of COVID. He was elder, I think, in the 70s, probably 80 years old. And so, you know, I don't want to dismiss what that family's going through and others that have been affected by this. But at the same time, I don't think we're supposed to live like this as Christians. I actually talked about this when I preached this last weekend to an empty room for the last time. that the difference between fear, being controlled by fear, is this. Okay, if somebody has COVID or the flu, you know, I'm probably not going to bring my kids over. Let's use wisdom. But then that doesn't control the way I live. Now I'm going to stay in my home. I'm not going to go out. I'm not going to minister. And so many people are operating in fear, in that mode of fear, and they're not just trusting God. But also don't think, you know, like the Bible says, you don't just go pick up a rattlesnake to pick it up and test God.
Yes, right.
You know, so,
right.
So to answer your question, I think we need to go out and be the church, but we also need to respect those in authority over us. We need to be sensitive to those. I mean, the world is watching our church.
Yeah, Shane, hang on a moment. We're going to go to a quick break. I want to pick it up on the other side. Shane Eidelman with me. We'll be back on Janet Mefford Today right after this.
You You're listening to Janet Mefford Today. And now, here's Janet.
Welcome back. My guest, Shane Eidelman, founder and lead pastor of Westside Christian Fellowship in California. And he has some thoughts on everything that's been going down in the Golden State pertaining to reopening churches. And there have been churches, of course, in legal action, trying to get their churches reopened after Governor Gavin Newsom kept extending the shutdown order. And, you know, it makes you wonder, Shane, if you have guidelines here from California that just were issued on Memorial Day talking about how you should have temperatures being taken when you come to church, and you should have seat covers, and you should have all this stuff. And I'm thinking, they're not doing this at Walmart. I mean, I don't know what's going on. I'm in Texas, but nobody's taking my temperature at Walmart. So why would you have to take people's temperature at church? What does that tell you about some of the political motivations that are potentially there from this kind of a shutdown?
Well, I'm not going to go into too much detail because I have friends in politics in Sacramento. So we get some of the behind the scenes, and they're just trying to make it as difficult. You hit this in the nail on the head, as difficult as possible for churches to come back together.
Yeah.
I don't know if you even read, I don't know if you read this on the air, but it also says on those guidelines, 25% of capacity or 100 people in the sanctuary, whatever is lower.
Yes.
So what do we do? Start having many services. And, you know, it's just, so that's what we have to do. That's why this is so difficult. But I think our governor, I pray for him. I pray for his wife and his kids. And I mean, that's what we do. But he also, I believe, breached his governmental authority when he breached the Constitution.
Yes.
When he signed up to be someone who respects and obeys and submits underneath the authority of the Constitution. That's how we govern. So if he breaks that commitment, then I think we have an obligation to look at then how do we respond to what he did. So I think you can say, hey, listen, we respect you. We're not going to go in guns blazing and the spirit of arrogance, but we are going to open the church. We're going to seek God, and we're going to get back to what we need to do. So, but what does that look like? You know, everybody's different. It's actually, covering the seats isn't too bad. We found it, you know, if you put just a painting cloth over the seat, and then when one service leaves, you just go throw that in a hot trailer, and then the bench is already clean for the next group. You know, so it's not, you know, we're trying to figure out what do we do, what don't we do, because the last thing you want to do is to be shut down.
Right, but you know what? It's interesting, Shane, in that regard, when you're talking about covering surfaces, the CDC just said last week that it is not possible or at least easy to catch COVID-19 from surfaces. So even that recommendation is not based on what the CDC is recommending.
Exactly, and you hit the nail on the head also with the masks. The mask is absolutely, especially you have to have the right mask. Many people don't. I mean, many of the masks that are being worn are like trying to stop mosquitoes with the chain link fence.
Yes.
You know, so so we see all these and I'm a big proponent of health and fitness, and I know what these hand washing and being too sanitary, too clean can actually hurt the body.
Yes.
Our bodies were designed to fight off these viruses first in the mucous membranes and then antibodies, and that's a whole other topic. But so I see so many things that are actually harmful for us. So how do we, and that's what we're working through. That's what we're asking our members as we go back to church this weekend. Just be patient with us. We're trying to work through this. If somebody needs prayer and their life's falling apart, I'm not going to stay 6 feet away with a mask on. I mean, I think I'm on God's side on that one. Also, though, we have we've had over close to a million sermon views just on one media platform since this started.
Amazing.
And that's because people are hungry. So if technically, you know, you go out in the wrong attitude, and one of the attorneys we look to, David Gibbs, and also Brad Dacus, Brad's a friend of mine.
Yes.
And, you know, they're like, just be careful, because the right thing done at the wrong time can be the wrong thing. So we've got godly counsel. I've talked to Jim Garlow, you know that,
sure.
And who he is, and Jack Hibbs recently, and Jack Graham in Texas, and James Robinson, and you know, so I reach out for godly counsel. So I think a lot of Christians are seeking godly counsel. We're going out at a united force on Pentecost Sunday. Okay, you kept us bound long enough. We've submitted, and now it's time for that church to be bold and take that next step. So
right.
I don't know what it looks like exactly. Do we just say, I don't care what California says? Because, see, you're right. Some people are still fearful, and they really believe that this is you know, something that we have to wear masks now the rest of our lives and we can't do this. And the church is insensitive to people. The church doesn't care about people because you're exposing people to it. And it's a very interesting time we're living in.
Well, here's something that I thought was interesting. There was a pastor in your area. I won't name who the pastor was, but there was a pastor in your area who put out a video on why we should keep the church closed down, which to me is a weird argument to be making as a pastor. But some of the things that he was saying against opening churches, I thought this was some weird logic. For example, we've heard a lot of talk from people who are on that side of the fence saying, well, we're supposed to love our neighbor. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the second is to love our neighbor as ourselves. So in their mind, loving your neighbor means not having church. He said the best way we can love our neighbors is by not having church. But here's my question, Shane. If you take that logic and you extrapolate it out logically and you say, well, where else would that apply? Then you shouldn't go to Walmart. You shouldn't go to the grocery store. You shouldn't have anybody deliver anything to your home because now you're not loving your neighbor. You are potentially exposing anybody who is out and about for your benefit to a potential contraction of COVID-19. So don't you see, you know, I don't understand how this guy is saying it's loving your neighbor by closing the church down. We're having church here in Texas and we're seeing our cases going down. We've been open now a few weeks. So I don't know how you could make the case that you have to close your church to love your neighbor. How do you interpret that as a pastor?
Well, actually, I know who you're talking about, too, and he's in my area. And there are pastors like this. I'm gonna sum it up, and I think most of you will agree. These are coming from liberal pastors who, number one, don't like our president. Number two, they don't have sound theology.
Yep.
They don't believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. Many of them are for gay marriage. So you see this mindset is drifting to what the world promotes or what the governmental authorities promote. And his argument actually falls on its face because you look at the suicide rate. Have you studied the alarming increase? And
yes.
Even doctors are saying, hey, we've got it. I think, don't quote me on this, but I think in America, more suicides have happened during COVID than the whole year produces. Alcoholism up 250% in my area, spousal abuse, child abuse. So loving your neighbor by being fearful is actually taking that verse out of context. We would actually love our neighbor by, now again, if this was the Black Plague, if we were being careless, that's one thing.
Right.
But this is completely different. So I think, number one, they don't like our president. They don't like the administration. And they are very liberal in their theology. So that drift is already there.
Yes.
And, you know, I'll just say it. I think many pastors are, it's in lazy mode. You know, my flesh says, oh, man, let's do this all summer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, just relax. But, I mean, that's not good. So I think many, you know, and they are fearful. Now, I'm going to tell you the last ingredient. You ready for this one?
Sure.
Most liability insurance companies are not going to cover churches that open under if they go against governmental recommendations.
But how could somebody sue you if they contracted a virus at your church? They could contract anything at church if they're out and about. So how would that even work?
Well, that's what we're not worried about. We're not the paper trail on that, trying to prove that. I mean, it just falls on the face. But I've heard pastors say, you know, I have no liability insurance going into this, but if I do that, if I open up early, Shane, but well, okay, we have to trust in God. We can't trust in the liability insurance policy.
Yeah.
Because, and I don't think the insurance company has any grounds either, because you can't link it to that if they were just at Costco or Walmart or you name it, you know, the incubation rate and all of that. So there's a lot of factors here. You'll see liberal pastors not filled with the Spirit of God, and they're cowards that are acting the way that the person you just described.
Thank you. That's what I have been saying, and I'm sure people think that's a little harsh, but I think it's cowardly.
It's the truth.
It is.
Say love. You say love. I listen to your program daily here, and if you can say things in love, listen, guys, this is wrong. You're being a coward. You're not standing up for God.
Yeah.
Where are the Tyndales and the Husses and the White Cliffs?
Thank you.
I mean, you know.
Well, this is exactly right. If you look at back at some of the plagues that have hit at various times throughout history and how Christians responded, I think some of those Christians would be ashamed of us responding in such a way to a survivable virus, overwhelmingly survivable virus. We're acting ridiculous. And, you know, I look at this, as I mentioned at the outset, the guideline that really was upsetting to me from California was when it said that staff and volunteers should not enter the home of a COVID patient or somebody who had been in contact with someone with COVID. Look, I understand about public health, but you're telling the clergy now, you can't minister to the sick. What? How in the world is that any of Newsom's business? The job of the clergy is to visit the sick if the sick need ministering. So to me, that's just beyond the pale that California is even going in that direction.
Yeah, well, it shows the fear, too. Remember, a lot of these legislators truly are fearing what this is. So they're trying to have to open the churches now. Look at what the president said. But we're going to handcuff the churches to such a degree that, you know, they're not going to be able to be out there and be effective,
right,
and do those things. But, yeah, to me, it's the spirit of the age. If we had time, I would tell you about some of the perverted legislation they're trying to pass in Sacramento. It's just alarming. So I think just goes along with it. You can't. We're either serving God or we're serving the world. So you see this clash of kingdoms happening right now. Those wanting to honor God, those who are, for lack of a better terminology, being led of the enemy, of God's enemy.
Right.
So you have these two kingdoms colliding, and as Christians, we're trying to work through that in a spirit of humility. But enough is enough. And a month ago, I text Jack Hibbs, and I said, hey, I'm thinking May 31st. And he said, me too. What great confirmation. And, you know, he's been getting the ball rolling 100 times more than I have on this. So we united as churches. We came together in prayer, and we decided, hey, let's do this. And then, ironically, the president just came out and said he regards churches as essential. So
great.
A lot of this has been in the works for a few weeks now. We've been working on this.
Well, it's wonderful, and I'm so encouraged, and I know those of us who are on the other side of the country are very encouraged by your action, Shane, as well as those other brave pastors in California who are not going to let fear control them. They're going to let the love of the Lord control them. Thank you so much. Shane Eidelman from Westside Christian Fellowship, great to have you here, Shane. Keep up the good work. God bless you.
Thank you. You too as well.
All right. Take care. We'll be back on Janet Mefford Today.